This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Well, I think at the fair I'd blend in because I spend my summers at my grandparents' home.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sister Jean, well, she actually had him going out in the second round. You know, her name's Mud there.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
There's a 30, Jace Cannon turning on the Jetson inside the 10. Touchdown, Bullpups.
Everything happening in the sports world.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We're really funny.
Well, I'm really not.
I think you're pretty funny.
Well, that's just because I'm so confused.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the canary, Tweety Bird, wearing his yellow shirt today, Mr. Steve Sell. Steve, you know what today is, right?
Monday.
You're correct.
You're not wrong. 4 days until the first football game.
It's game week.
Okay.
It's game week. Multiple games. You and I will be on the air on Tuesday, tomorrow night, for a little boys soccer taking on Newton. Friday night, some high school football. Saturday, some college football. Are you prepared? Are you mentally ready?
Oh, I'm ready to go. I mean, this is what we've been waiting for and excited for. Got a little taste of it Friday night with the fall preview. Sports are getting underway, not only at the high school level, the college. They started some action this weekend. Jessica Cleveland's volleyball team went 4-0, won the KCAC Fall Fling. That was fantastic. And of course, high school really gets going this week. Excited for the soccer game tomorrow night. We'll have that on the air. I think 7:20, I think we're coming on.
Somewhere
around there. McPherson and Newton open the season. And that's like a postseason game to kick off the season because last year they were two of the best teams around. Newton won in double overtime last year. The Bullpups have most of their team back. I know Coach Adrian's excited. He thinks this could be a really special team this year. So looking forward to that. And, of course, also tomorrow, the volleyball team.
Right.
They started 4-2 over the weekend, finished third out of 16 teams down at Hutchinson, and they're home to take on Winfield, and I believe Andale's the other team. Generally, you play the team furthest away first, which would be Winfield, so I'm assuming it's the Bullpups and Winfield at 5, then Andale and Winfield, and then the Bullpups and Andale. Andale always good in every sport, so should be quite a test for Coach Doyle's team.
We'll go over the rest of this week's schedule a little bit later on in the show, and I want to touch on the Kansas City Chiefs and their lackluster performance in game number 3 of the preseason, mainly from the defensive side of the ball where they were not very good. But before we do that, Steve, I had a fun weekend. Spent the weekend in Manhattan for a wedding. I know that you are a big fan of the City of Purple. Were you a little jealous that I got to be there?
No.
When's the last time you went to Manhattan?
Let's see. I went to Manhattan for a basketball game. McPherson College played Manhattan Christian.
Ooh.
It was about 3 years ago, and I haven't been.
Why did you go to that? We're doing it on radio?
We're doing it on radio.
Okay.
Yeah, doing it on radio. The Bulldogs had their season opener at Manhattan Christian. I think that's the last time. I'm pretty sure that's the last time I've been in Manhattan. Now, I've been past Manhattan several times, but not in Manhattan.
It was a really fun weekend. I got to be around a lot of K-State people. The wedding reception that I went to was inside the K-State Alumni Center. So I think that means go there.
What was the connection there that they were able to get it inside the K-State place?
Well, the bride works for K-State.
Ah.
And they are recent alums.
Okay.
And so it was a really fun weekend to be in there. Willie the Wildcat was in the house.
You know, when I see those mascots...
He was wearing a suit with a bow tie.
You know, when I see those mascots with those big heads, I just kind of want to punch the heads. Because, I mean, their heads are way in there, and they got all that stuff around. But I would.
So you want to punch Willie the Wildcat?
I don't think I'd ever want to punch Willie. Probably. He'd knock me on my can. Probably.
They brought Willie the Wildcat out, and then they started to play the Wabash Cannonball. So naturally, I had to go get in the crowd and get in the line and do a little Wabash.
I'd probably step out for some air if that was going on.
What I was really wanting them to do was play the K-State fight song, because it's not all that often in my life that that song is like played and I'm in public and I get to sing along with it, because I know all the words.
Yeah.
And so I was really hoping they'd play it.
Why do you know all the words?
Well, Steve, you know I'm weird.
But
I know all the words of the Canadian national anthem, the Mexican national anthem.
The big question is...
Fight songs.
The biggest question is, was Bill Moses Snyder there?
I'm sure he was at Bill Snyder Family Stadium, because, you know, that's where he spends his whole life.
Right.
But he was not at the Alumni Center, at least to my knowledge, unless he was dressed up as Willie the Wildcat. But Willie looked a little bit too jacked to be... Bill Moses Snyder.
Okay.
Well, they got to sing the alma mater. I don't know the words to that. I think I know the KU one. I know the Arkansas one. Now, I don't know the K-State one.
I went to KU, and I don't remember all the words.
It starts off with far across the Golden Valley, and then
That's about as far as I get.
Stands our noble alma mater.
I can't even remember the Indy Bulldog alma mater.
So, lift the chorus ever onward, crimson that,
that's
and the
just
blue.
One of those, that's just one of those things I felt like I outgrew and I didn't really need to remember it. So
I like alma maters. I think that's a cool thing when people can do it.
Yeah.
And it always made me sad that the mighty Olathe East Hawks, we didn't really have an alma mater.
Really?
Maybe it's because we were too new. I mean, we had a fight song.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
How old is Olathe East?
92 or 93. I think 92.
Holy cow.
So maybe it's just too new
and
that they decided... Well, we're not having any alumni meetings anytime soon, so maybe that's part of it. But fun weekend. Got to hit up the town in Aggieville. You go to Aggieville much, Steve?
No.
Have you ever been out in Aggieville?
I have.
I figured you've been a couple of times.
I went to some place called Mel's.
I didn't go there.
I think
Aggieville's a little different looking than probably the last time that you went.
Mel's. It wasn't Mel's Diner. That was a TV show. But Mel's, they had fish bowls. At Mel's, beer and fish bowls.
But not with fish. Yeah, there you go. It's more with the alcohol
involved. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Another thing that I noticed at this wedding, Steve, a lot of people wearing purple.
Man.
I know that that's kind of in your closet and that you wear a lot of purple here, but I don't wear that much purple.
I only have two purple shirts.
And I was telling somebody, I said, you know, I don't wear a lot of purple. It doesn't look that good on me.
Yeah.
And maybe they took that as like a shot, but I wear
a lot of orange. I like orange. I wear red. Of course,
wear a lot of red.
And I love yellow. The canary. I love the canary.
The canary.
Yellow. Yeah. So
it was a really fun weekend. Long week. Well, short day. Long weekend.
Yeah.
Was a little bit of a struggle getting back here to McPherson. But
sure.
A very fun weekend. Glad to have made it up there. And I feel a little bit more like a K-State alum after this weekend. Didn't get any of the great benefits of being an alum, though, besides being able to hang out in the Alumni Center.
There you go.
All right, I wanted to touch on one more thing before we dive into the Chiefs and talk a little bit about what's coming up for the Bullpups this week. So I know that you are a big fan of ESPN's Michelle Beadle. I say that
tongue-in-cheek, a little
jokingly.
Yeah,
because Steve has never liked Michelle Beadle all that much. But
no.
have you read up on what happened with her?
No.
So she is no longer going to be a host of the ESPN morning show called Get Up.
Wow. That's
so cute. For those of you that need to be caught up to speed a little bit, Michelle Beadle was the host of Sports Nation for a long time. She does a lot of the coverage for the NBA games every single night.
Right, she was hosting the NBA show.
And they were about 5 months into this new show. It was her, Mike Greenberg, who left Mike and Mike, not Seth Greenberg, the college basketball coach,
yeah,
but Mike Greenberg, and then Jalen Rose.
Jalen's really good on that show.
And those three... started off in the morning. I don't know exactly the runtime here. I think it's 7 to 10, but it might be 6 to 9.
Yeah.
And the ratings, everybody was commenting on it early on that they just weren't very good and that they couldn't get any ratings going. And these guys were making a lot of money, too. I think I saw it was $14.5 million between the three of them.
A year.
Right.
Yeah.
And last week, after the Urban Meyer statement, after he came out and made his comments... and I believe it was Thursday morning that Michelle Beadle said this, is that she said, I'm already not watching the NFL, and last night's comments and Ohio State not taking any action and showing that they don't care about women, that she's no longer watching any college football either.
Ooh, that's their staple.
And that's what she said last week.
And that's a staple for ESPN. I mean, they run like 36 college football games every Saturday.
And that's probably what a lot of their viewers are interested in talking about is
right.
The NFL games, the college games. And I do kind of admire her for coming out and taking a stance and being very serious about it. But the only problem is she either probably knew she was going to lose her job and was okay with that, or she would not have said that.
Yeah.
Because
you don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Well, it's not even as much that as it is people are watching that show because they want to hear what she has to say about the NFL and college football.
Why is she?
And if everybody knows she's not watching,
why is she against the NFL?
All the protest stuff.
Oh, okay.
And domestic violence issues and okay. All sorts of things like that. But
yet she's a big wrestling fan. Of course, that's not a sport. That's choreographed. But you know,
well, it's not domestic violence.
Yeah, it's violence.
They're fighting each other.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted to ask you this. Because a lot of people have been upset with Michelle Beadle because she was supposedly covering something that she doesn't even watch. Do you think it's a really important thing that you watch every single game that we talk about?
No.
So if we said, oh, the Royals looked bad last night, do you think that you needed to have watched that game to be able to tell every single aspect of what happened?
No, not at all.
And I think that's the right answer to this because
I mean, because I read. I mean, I read the. If I don't see a game, I at least read the account. And if they said, you know, they stink, their bullpen stinks, which it does. I mean, you know, that's good enough for me.
But I don't think you have to watch every single second of every single game in order to go on TV or go on radio and be an expert. Because there are times that you don't get to watch every single game. Like the Kansas City Chiefs, I watched 3/4 of their game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to talk about much of what happened in the 4th quarter with 2 minutes left to go. And during the regular season, I'm going to watch pretty much every game they play.
Yeah, and I'll watch it all the way through.
But
it's
I don't think you have to watch, especially when it comes to more national landscape stuff. Now, I do think you have to be watching other games. You have to have an idea of what's happening throughout the league. But for Michelle Beadle to say, I'm not watching any of the NFL, I'm not watching any college football, she's going to lose a lot of credibility because what else are you going to talk about
at
the end of September?
Because on that show, the NFL, I mean, they have so many shows that, you know, are NFL-oriented. They have NFL Live, NFL Today, NFL Insider. I mean, and if she's not watching any NFL, I mean, why even have her on?
Yeah, then I'd go somewhere else.
Yeah, have her sit out that segment or something.
And it would be weird if all they did was talk about the NBA in the middle of
So did she September. Get fired? Did she get fired?
Well, she's just going to do more NBA coverage and still be around with, I think their NBA Tonight show is called NBA
so
Tonight.
So she's off that show.
Here pretty soon. I think somebody said she was on there this morning, but she will not be for much longer.
Wow, I did not know that.
Your good friend, Michelle Beadle.
Well, her star is really dimmed to me anyway. You know, she was, I liked her for a while, but she was kind of like Chris Berman with me. I like Chris Berman on ESPN, but his shtick. I'm not a big shtick guy, and that's kind of what Michelle Beadle is. She's kind of got her shtick where she's one of the boys. You can tell she'd like to go out and drink beers with the boys, you know, and things like that. But, you know, that kind of, you know, her wisecracks kind of, it grew thin with me. I just didn't watch her very much anymore.
Steve is not a shtick guy.
I'm not a shtick guy.
Everybody learned that today.
Okay.
All right, Steve, let's take our first break. When we come back, Chiefs time. They're through 3 games of the preseason. 4th one is coming up on Thursday. What did we learn in week 3 of the preseason? We'll talk about that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. Good to be back and good to be getting ready for the first real week of football. The college football season really gets underway on Thursday. The high school football season everywhere throughout Kansas, Friday. And then Saturday, it's the real big first day. And Steve, it feels good to have it back.
Oh, it's really
been a while.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, the football offseason is longer than any other offseason.
The game and this is going to sound strange, but the game I'm really looking that's got my interest is KU Nichols State. Because if Nichols State goes into Lawrence before 10,000 people, probably.
A standing ovation of 2,700.
Probably about 12,000 people. And it's a shame. You know, maybe it's because of guys like me, but it's a shame that they'll probably be lucky to have. I mean, they'll announce a crowd at about 25,000, but I'm guessing there'll be about 15,000 there. If they lose to Nichols State, then all we're doing is looking at our watch and saying, how many minutes till David Beatty gets fired? And it's kind of unfair, but that's just the way it is in college football. When you're 3-33, your only Big 12 win was against Texas, which cost Charlie Strong his job. I mean, you got a new athletic director, no doubt wants to get his own guy in there. You know, David Beatty, I don't know how many wins it's going to take for David Beatty to keep his job, but the over-under I saw is 3. There is no way in the world the Jayhawks get the 3 wins this year.
Speaking of teams, I don't know. I don't have a good transition. Chiefs and Bears, they were in preseason game number 3. I was going to say, speaking of teams that are playing their third game, doesn't make any sense. Anyway, Chiefs and Bears, what were your overall takeaways? I mean, the score, I'm not worried about scores
I don't care
in
about
any
the
of these
score.
Games. I have 27-20. But the thing that scared me, Steve, is that first team defense.
Awful.
Ooh.
I wrote a column about
it. It was ugly.
They gave up 400 yards to the Bears' backups. Chase Daniel, former Chief.
Man, he looked good.
Tyler Bray, who never once looked good in a preseason game, 5-for-7, 72 yards. Chase Daniel, Tyler Bray, 20-of-25, 270 yards, 2 touchdowns. It was like they were operating against air. I mean, it was just terrible. The running game, Chicago, over 4 yards a carry. Chase Daniel ran for 47 yards. Kenial Davis.
My boy.
Kenial Davis, 5 carries, 35 yards. Former Chief. He averaged 7 yards a carry. They got gashed. I mean, it's awful.
The thing that has scared me the most, Steve, and this is a comment that I think I've made every single show that we've been talking about the Chiefs, is the first drive of all 3 preseason games, the opponent has marched right down the field.
Yeah, they've scored in 3 minutes. And this didn't even take 3 minutes. Well, the Chiefs start off, they kick it out of bounds.
That was a good start.
Then they get a penalty on the very first play, 15-yard tack-on penalty. Then Chicago hits on a long pass. I mean, they were down there in the red zone and no problem. This defense better get it figured out, because if it doesn't, I mean, the Chiefs are looking at about 5-11, because if the defense doesn't get it figured out, David Amerson was brought in from Oakland to play corner. He is absolutely lost. I mean, it makes you wish Terrence Mitchell was back or Philip Gaines. I don't know.
I don't know about wishing Terrence Mitchell was back.
I don't know where Philip Gaines ended up. I don't think he's with the team anymore. I haven't seen him in a preseason game. But that secondary is just getting lit up. I know there's no Eric Berry. I know there's no Daniel Sorensen. But, you know, the corners, now Kendall Fuller is a good-looking player.
Yeah, but I didn't even think he looked all that good this past
weekend. No, he didn't. But, I mean, is Andy Reid just kind of sandbagging us? Is that what he's doing? And the other thing that's alarming for me, they're hardly running the ball. I mean, they had 12 rushing attempts. Mahomes, 2 carries for 11 yards was their rushing leader. What does that tell you? So, Kareem Hunt, 3 carries, 7 yards. I think he's got like 15 yards the entire fall. To me, the Chiefs are not a good enough team that they can just turn it on in the first game. Maybe the Patriots can do that, la-di-da their way through the preseason, and then when that season opener comes, I mean, then they win 35-0. I just don't think the Chiefs are that kind of football team. I think they're a really good team, but but not a great team. But that defense has got to get it figured out.
Now, I will say, one of the things that I took away and thought was very impressive this past weekend, I thought the first team offense with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, I thought they looked really smooth. And the comment that I have made is that was his best game of the four that he has now started in his career. The Broncos game from the end of the regular season, and then the first three preseason games this year.
Well, you can see
I felt really confident watching him on Saturday.
You can see his maturity, 18 of 24, 196, a touchdown, no picks. He's learning to check down. It looks like he's got great chemistry with Tyreek Hill. 8 catches, 88 yards. And every time Tyreek Hill gets the ball in space, it's just like your heart stops, your breath stops, because you just don't know what he's going to do. He had a long play of about, 28 yards. He had a 28-yard play right early in the game. Travis Kelce looks like he's in mid-season form. Now, Sammy Watkins, they have thrown a lot of money at this guy. He has one catch in the preseason.
Yeah, they haven't thrown a lot of balls at him.
Well, yeah, they just haven't thrown a lot of balls at him. Now, they had like 13 different receivers catch, or 13 different players catch balls in that game with the Bears. So, don't take anything out of next week's game with Los Angeles, or not Los Angeles, Green Bay. They have Green Bay at home on Thursday. Then they open with the Chargers the following Sunday. I just don't know what to expect from this Chiefs team, because at some point you'd like to see, for one thing to me, I don't think they play with a lot of intensity. I know it's the preseason, but it just seems like they have been flat all three games to me. They don't seem to have that, you know, that Chiefs swagger that we, you know, we're accustomed to.
Another comment that I'll make in regards to this Chiefs defense. Are we confident that Eric Berry is going to come back and be completely fine and be completely normal? Because everybody's saying, hey, just wait for Eric Berry. What if Eric Berry is not 100%? What if he's not 80%?
I'm beginning to think they're setting us all up that he's going to be out like another month or so. Maybe that's just me, but I just feel like they're setting it up. They want the Chargers to believe that he's going to play on opening day. But the guy's older, you know, and he's had
He's had cancer. He's had a torn ACL.
He's beat cancer. He's beat torn ACL. How much can he really have left? I mean, I know he's a great player, but how much can he really have left?
What if he's not 100%? Ooh. What if he's not 80%? What if he comes back and is not ready at all?
Yeah.
So then my question is, and the thing that will make me mad, the Chiefs gave up somebody who is debatably the number one player at his position, at one of the toughest positions in football, for almost nothing to help this team in Marcus Peters. And I get, you think, okay, he was a cancer to the team.
He was a knucklehead.
But the knucklehead made plays.
Yeah.
And on a defense that looks like the Chiefs defense right now, that has nobody that seems to be able to make any tackles, nobody that can make any plays, you know who could make plays? Marcus Peters.
Yeah, he could.
Marcus Peters could make
plays.
And
he brought intensity to that defense. Right. I think they miss his intensity.
Now, he was a crazy person.
Yeah. And I think they miss the professionalism of Derek Johnson and Tom Bahali. Those guys, you know, they brought their lunch pail to work every day and gave it 110%. Now, they had their four linebackers together for the first time. That's four pretty good linebackers. Hitchens and Rutland combined for 12 tackles.
Ragland.
I want to say, why am Rutland. I always say Reggie Rutland. He's Reggie Ragland. But those guys, Ragland and Hitchens, made like 12 of the first 15 tackles the Chiefs had. So,
which is not a great sign.
That is not a, what's the D-line doing? I don't even, who they got on the D-line anymore?
Passanio.
I can't even remember who they have anymore. They've lost
Chris Jones.
Is Alan Bailey still there?
I don't think so.
What about, Howard's gone.
Yeah, no Jay Howard.
Yeah, no Jay Howard.
Nanati.
Yeah, the new guy, I don't know. That, you know, it's right now they are a linebacker-based team. Those linebackers are going to make a lot of tackles.
Steve, let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll get a little preview of everything that's coming up this week for McPherson Eye Sports and everything that will be on our plate coming up here over the next 7 days. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, we've been saying it for a few weeks now that we're ready to get back into the regular routine, get back into the rhythm. And this week, it's finally back.
Everything.
We had a coach's show on Saturday.
Yeah.
We're rolling.
Yeah. Every sport begins its season, or either begins its season or continues its season this week.
It's a good sign.
Oh, yeah.
So tomorrow will be a pretty busy day. JV tennis will be having an invitational out at the high school. Volleyball, like we mentioned earlier, a triangular with Andale and Winfield. That'll be inside the roundhouse starting at 5. So you would imagine their first match will be at 5. Second one, 6:30, 7, sometime around
about
there.
About 7. I'll be out there for that first match.
Yeah, and then we'll head over to soccer.
Yeah, check that out.
Varsity soccer, 7:30, taking on the Railers of Newton. And that's going to be a fun one tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It's fun to get back into the swing of soccer, because soccer is very different play-by-play-wise than anything else that we do.
Right.
Very relaxed.
And there's
a lot of time to kill.
And we may be the only radio in the state
that does a lot of soccer.
That does soccer.
At least during the regular season.
I have not covered a game ever where anybody was broadcasting. I think we are like the trailblazers. Our boy Schnob will be here, though.
Oh, sure.
Schnob, season opener. Friend of the show, I'm sure.
Then on Thursday, varsity tennis will have a big invitational tournament at the school. Cross country will be at Great Bend. Soccer will then go on the road and be at Salina South. And then Friday, it's a football Friday at McPherson Stadium, 7 o'clock kickoff. And Steve, what we're doing that's a little different this year with our pregame coverage is we're going 1 hour long. And we know the plan, but we'll have our countdown to kickoff pregame show starting at 6, where we will look back at the last week's game. We will also take a look at some of the other area teams and where they'll be playing on that Friday night. And then starting at 6:30 will be when we get back to our normal pregame where we're live at the stadium. The first 30 minutes will all be pre-recorded and done in studio, but then the second 30 minutes starting at 6:30, back to normal. I'm excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun on Friday night.
There's nothing like a season opener. I just love any opening to the season, get excited for. And this Bullpup team, I'm real curious to see what they got. This is not going to be an easy opener. Salina South is not a bad football team, a lot bigger school. They're going to be bigger than the Bullpup, especially defensive line. They are going to be monstrous in the defensive line. Not that the Bullpups aren't, with Cody Stuffel being Khalil Lisbon, Avila, and Tanner Pacey. We got a good size line, but their defensive line is the strength of their team. I know they've got some new kind of their little green in the skill positions, which will probably work to the Bullpups' favor. I think the Bullpup offense should be in high gear for that first game. Kyler Hoppus, of course, has his trio of receivers. If you didn't see the story on midkansasonline.com, the three Bullpup receivers, Gabe Hoover, Chandler Wired, Taylen Huff, listed among the top 25 receivers in Kansas to watch. And then, of course, the bus, Jace Kinnaman in the backfield.
The bus.
To provide good balance. Jacob Bile will be a nice backup. And don't be surprised if Honesty Whitaker gets a couple carries in there.
I'll say it again. Not very many teams in any state, at any classification, return a first-team all-league quarterback, running back, and wide receiver.
And I really believe you're going to see a potential 2,000-yard passer, a potential 1,000-yard rusher, and I think one of the receivers could get 1,000 yards this year.
It'd be hard.
Yeah, because
for
of the
sure they could get 700 or 800.
Yeah, well, last year it was almost all three of them were around the – one was over just over 500, the other two around 500.
Yeah.
And remember, we also had Ben Nichols, a receiver, last year. We had Tyson Stites as a receiver last year. So there were more receivers. This year, those three guys will be playing about every down, and they won't be coming out.
Steve, get ready. First big week.
Buckle up.
Tomorrow we'll have our first broadcast, a little soccer, so we'll preview that. and then we're getting ready to rock. We'll wrap up today's show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 1230 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.